Blog Talk Radio.
I thank you for your bountiful love. Your love is so great that you spared not your Son, but delivered him to us as a sacrifice, that I might be reconciled to you. Your love is greatest force in the world. I thank you that nothing can separate me from your love, not tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, peril or battle. Your love, Lord, is the rock and foundation of my life. No matter what situation I face, no matter what challenges are before me, your love shall sustain me. Even when I fail and fall short, your love reaches out to me. Let your love be perfected in my life. I know without a shadow of a doubt that nothing can separate me from your love. Not death, life, angels, principality, threat, things to come, powers, heights or depths. Nothing in all creation can separate me from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. In the previous chapter, Eve was found guilty of sin by listening to the tempter and involving her husband in rebellion against God. There was no doubt about her guilt, yet in the midst of a dark and unclear time in her life, she heard Adam declare, "Your name shall be called Eve, the mother of all living." This term is filled with so much hope and promise of creation, physical birth, and renewal, spiritual birth. A new day has dawned for Eve, and so for you mothers. Gentle reminders of God's love and our prayer for you, that you realize that you have life to give and much to pass on by telling your children, grandchildren, and others about the love of Jesus Christ. May you never allow what you can't do to interfere with what you can do, for with God all things are possible. May you trust God to guide your life even though you've stumbled and fallen in the past. The scripture says in Psalm 16 verse 11, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I pray that you truly live the life God has for you now and not wait until. Proverbs 13 verse 12 says, Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. May you see the sunshine where others see darkness, opportunities when others see obstacles. Be reminded of what God promised you. Press until His promises are manifested in your lives. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 says, For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. May you go out in joy and be led forth with peace. May the mountain and the hills burst into song before you, and may all the trees of the field clap their hands. Have a happy Mother's Day, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Welcome to another episode of the House of Christ Ministries Presents, Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com. Or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com, our online bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com, our online Bible Institute and at www.HouseOfChristBibleInstitute.org, our online Bible College at www.HouseOfChristBibleCollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated ministry. You can also visit our affiliated School of Ministry, House of David Ministries, Inc., and the Tony Owens Ministry, Incorporated, at www.ReverseOfRevival.com. You can also visit us at foodforthepoor.org/Christ Ministries. House of Christ Ministries now supports Food for the Poor. We need your financial support to raise funds to assist their efforts. Food for the Poor is helping the poorest of poor in 17 Latin American and Caribbean countries, including Jamaica. There are no easy fix when it comes to poverty. Your donation will help to alleviate some of the pressing issues facing the poor. I pray that you will find it in your hearts to give. You can visit us at www.foodforthepoor.org/Christ Ministries. All donations will be appreciated. All donations are tax deductible under Internal Revenue Code Section 501(c)(3). If you prefer to mail a check, please make it payable to Food for the Poor, Inc., and it should be mailed to 6401 Lyons Road, Coconut Creek, Florida, 33073. And we ask you to write on the check's memo line SC80192 to ensure proper tracking. God bless you, and I pray that you will find it in your hearts to make a contribution to this worthy cause. House of Christ Ministries, Inc. is a member of the Tony Owens Ministry. We are an apostolic ministry that shares the gospel of Jesus Christ through a variety of mediums, from our radio broadcast every Sunday and Wednesdays, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis. Our monthly mailing lessons, our social Christian network, our online Bible Institute and Bible College, our posting of Words of the Day on numerous websites. We are reaching hundreds throughout the world for Jesus Christ. It is our desire to take the uncompromised and anointed Word of God to the old world, starting with our local community, bringing lost souls to a practical relationship with Jesus Christ. Our mission at House of Christ Ministries is to proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world and prepare believers and non-believers how to live independently and have dominion to reign over the enemies of this world. We encourage you to sow into this ministry for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and winning souls for the kingdom. Your prayer and financial support are important components to bringing the gospel to the world. Together, we can make a difference. If you would like to send your prayer request, share a testimony, or make a donation or love offering, please contact us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. All donations are tax deductible under Internal Revenue Code Section 501(c)(3). Continue on this spiritual journey, I would like to share our statement of faith with you. We believe the Bible to be the inspired and only infallible Word of God. We believe that there is one God, eternally existent in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the blessed hope, which is the rapture of the Church of God, which is in Christ at his return. We believe that the only means of being cleansed from sin is through repentance, faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and being baptized in water. We believe that regeneration by the Holy Ghost is absolutely essential for personal salvation. We believe that the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross provides healing for the human body in answer to believing prayer. We believe that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 4, is given to believers who ask for it. We believe in the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, by whose indwelling the Christian is enabled to live a holy and separated life in this present world. We believe in the Great Commission according to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 says, When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Life in the blood of Jesus Christ. Astounding results can take place in your lives when you learn about the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and how to use it in coping with life's difficulties. This mighty weapon of spiritual warfare holds the secret to a victorious life. God had already entered into covenant with Abraham, and his faith had already been tested severely, tried, and had stood the test. It was reckoned or counted to him for righteousness. Romans chapter 4, verse 9 says, Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for our righteousness. Yet he had to learn that Isaac, the son of promise, would belong only to God, could be truly surrendered to God only by death. Isaac had to die, for Abraham as well as for Isaac. Only by death could freedom from the self-life be obtained. Abraham offered Isaac on the altar. See Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 18. This was not an arbitrary command of God. It was the revelation of a divine truth that only through death is it possible for the life to be truly consecrated to God. But it was impossible for Isaac to die and rise again from the dead. For account of sin, death would hold him fast. The scripture tells us that Isaac's life was spared, and a ram was offered in his place. Through the blood that flowed on Mount Moriah, his life was spared. He and the people who sprang from him lived before God not without the blood, but that blood, however, he was, in a sense, raised again from the dead. The great lesson of substitution is taught clearly here. What the blood accomplished on Mount Moriah for one person, who was the father of the nation, now are to be experienced by that nation. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13 says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt."
Hey!
House of Christ Ministries, Inc. is a member of the Tony Owens Ministries. Our sole purpose is to equip the members of the body of Jesus Christ with the tools necessary to effectively function in the call of God on their lives. As believers, we are commissioned by the Lord to take the knowledge of Jesus Christ throughout the world. I pray that these teachings will be a blessing to you and will help you fulfill the Great Commission. You have been called to be a steward, a servant of God. God has called you to be His ambassador to the world. He has given you the ministry of delivering the message of God to the whole world, the message of reconciliation. No greater call could ever be issued. No higher position could ever be held. I encourage you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. These teachings, What Christians Believe, Who is Jesus, Proof of the Living God, Part 1, Our Father, Proof of the Living God, Part 2, The Holy Spirit, Proof of the Living God, Part 3, The Origin of Man and the Origin of God, Are There Many Ways or Only One Way to God? You will learn what it really means to be a Christian, to be able to express to others who Jesus Christ is. You'll gain an understanding of the nature of God, the Trinity, how the religious or religions of the world came about. For more information and to receive copies of these teachings, which can be used in Bible study forums, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. God bless you as we continue on this spiritual journey. I encourage you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As we continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission, our number one goal is Jesus Christ. Our mission is souls, and our vision is the last day's Book of Acts. Our lesson for tonight in a series, What Christians Believe, we will continue where we left off last Wednesday.
Lord, I thank you. Even while I was your sinner, you came down and paid the price that no one else could have paid, as a ransom for my sins. Lord, I thank you today. I can't praise you enough, Lord, for dying for me. I was guilty with nothing.
Baby.
If this were so, then where do these souls' spirits come from? For we know that the population is constantly growing. The originators of false religions and advisitation from these fallen demonic beings that pose as angels of light and act as God are God's representatives, giving what a human would consider divine wisdom and direction, yet they are workers for the father of lies, the devil. These fallen demonic spirits that visit men to deceive them individually, with the intent to deceive nations and groups of people, often come looking like what men and women would consider gods, perhaps having light radiating from them or being illuminated. This would cause people to think that it is God or the little G-O-D's multitudes of people or in false religion that have been started by their forefathers. Instead of them finding out if the religion is actually the truth, they rather follow blindly the same demonic spirits that deceived their predecessors. Please don't let your allegiance to your family and culture cause you not to seek the truth. It's not worth going to hell for it. Please understand that Satan and his demonic hierarchy transform themselves into angels of light, thus deceiving multitudes with the lie of false religions and atheism. In the Holy Bible, the book of 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 14 through 15, we read, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Beloved, they introduce the light of false religion, illuminating the minds of so-called prophets with lies that over time deceives multitude, causing them to go to hell. What happens at death? Death is the permanent cessation, stop of all vital organs. It is the end of this natural life as we know it. So what happens at death? A, your body stops functioning. B, your spirit, the real you, then leaves your non-functioning or dead body in a soul. C, your spirit is eternal. That means it will forever exist when your body dies. D, your spirit immediately goes to heaven or hell. You could take a look at Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. What is eternal life? Many people have a misconception of what eternal life is. In this lesson, we'll endeavor to understand what it is, who shall receive it, and what we will be doing in it. So what is eternal life? To gain a full understanding, we must define the word eternal. The Greek word for eternal is aionos, pronounced oinos, meaning perpetual, continuing forever, also used of past time or past and future as well. Eternal, forever, or everlasting. The Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary defines eternal as having infinite duration, everlasting, continued without intermission or perpetual, seemingly endless, existing at all times, timeless. In layman terms, eternal life means to live forever or have life forever. Since eternal life can only be accomplished in an endless period of time or in timelessness, we must then ask the next question, which is, what is eternity? Eternity encompasses the totality of creation, both spiritual and natural. For it is not based on time or on the revolving or spinning of the earth, in which we calculate our days, or the rotation of the earth around the sun, in which we calculate years. The Merriam-Webster Collegiate Dictionary defines eternity as infinite time, the state after death, immortality, seeming endless or immeasurable time. In trying to understand eternity, we must first realize that time is a period of measurement that is restricted to Earth and perhaps our solar system. Time is based on Earth, not space or eternity. Eternity will have reference points such as events that have happened, but it will not be in time. Eternity is outside the tools of measurement, Earth, Sun, and Moon, that man uses to chronicle events and lifespans. What and where is hell? Hell is a place that is a holding tank for those who die without Jesus Christ. It is a place of continual fire burning. It is hot beyond belief. If you die without Jesus Christ, your soul and spirit go to this place of punishment. Your soul and your spirit can exist in this fire, and you will feel every bit of the pain of being burnt, yet you will not be consumed or burnt up. Hell is a real place of fire. You will be judged on what you do in this life, so don't just think you can live life any way you want and get away with it. You also do not get a second chance after you die. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. Also 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad." The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verse 11, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" What about people who are good people? Will they go to hell? That is a question in everybody's mind. There are a lot of people today who says, "I'm a good person." Being good does not qualify people to go to heaven and have eternal life. Those who we consider to be good people still sin, and it is sin that stopped us from having eternal life. Just one sin is enough. And all people, no matter how good we think that we are, have inherited sin from Adam at birth. Some people are friends and families that they feel are good, yet they know that they sin and cannot believe that these so-called good people will go to hell. They feel that God judges things like men, weighing the good that people have done against the bad. And if they have done more good than bad, then they go to heaven and have eternal life. This is wrong theology. First of all, the Holy Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 12, see clause, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Also, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It just takes one sin to qualify a person, any person, no matter what their religious beliefs, to have eternal punishment in hell and the lake of fire. This condemns all mankind because we all inherited eternal punishment in hell and the lake of fire. We all inherited Adam, the forefather of mankind's sin. Sin and its punishment is not based on what you believe, rather on what happened, which was Adam's disobedience. There is no need to discuss eternal life without discussing what the alternative is. Eternal damnation and punishment. What is the rapture? As we endeavor to gain an understanding of what the body of Christ calls the rapture, we must gain clarity regarding the two very stages of Christ's second coming. Many combine the stages of the second coming of Christ, not realizing that they are two very distinct things with two very different purposes. The first stage of his second coming happens approximately 7 years before the second stage. The first stage or part is called the rapture or appearing, and its purpose is to catch or take out the true believers in Jesus Christ before the world plunges into the worst time that it has ever known, called the tribulation period. The tribulation period is a time of great trials that will come upon the people of this world because of their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. During the rapture, Jesus Christ does not actually come on the earth. Rather, he comes in the atmosphere or heaven and calls for the true Christians. The second stage of the second coming of Jesus Christ is the actual coming to the earth by the Lord Jesus Christ to rule, which will happen in the Battle of Armageddon at the end of the tribulation period. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18 gives us the account of the rapture. It reads, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Beloved, as we examine this scripture, as well as other scriptures throughout the Holy Bible, we will find that in no place in the word rapture The word rapture is derived from the phrase caught up. The word for caught up in the Greek is arpazo, pronounced arpazo, meaning to seize, catch away, pluck, pull, take by force. Understanding the original meaning of the word caught in this scripture, we now can quote verse 17 of the above text this way. Then we which are alive and remain shall be pulled up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The two baptisms. In the Holy Bible, we see that there are two very different baptisms that are mentioned. The first baptism that is mentioned is that of water, in which John the Baptist was doing. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 13 says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather thorn girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees came to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will truly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him." In the above text of Scripture, we have John baptizing with water, while declaring that there would be a greater baptism of fire that would come from someone who would come after him, which we know to be Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, I want to reiterate to you that there are definitely two very different and distinct baptisms, one of water and the other of the Holy Spirit with fire. Acts chapter 8, verses 15 through 16 tells us that you can have one and not the other, which many Christians do. It reads, "Who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. The people in the above scripture had been baptized in water, yet they lacked the baptism of the Holy Ghost and with fire. Again, natural water baptism is an outward sign, going down in water, symbolic of washing away sins, of an inward act, repentance of the heart. Many Christians think that water baptism saves them. Those who believe that are absolutely wrong in this assumption, which has no biblical basis. Beloved, you must ask God to forgive you and repent. Turn from doing of your sins before you get baptized with water. Baptism in water does nothing for you. It does not save you. Rather, it is a public statement by the believer in Jesus Christ that they are crucified with Christ and are dead to the old person and resurrected a new person in Jesus Christ. This point is evident in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, which says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Water baptism does not save us or wash away sins. Rather, it is when we are in Christ, accepted Him as Lord and Savior, and have repented of our sins, allowing God to come into our hearts and to change us, that we become new creatures, which causes old things to pass away, which is sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 tells us, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism in death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Water baptism is identified with what is called the baptism of repentance, which can be applied to the baptism before and after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It has to do with the turning from our sins, which differs from the baptism of the Holy Spirit in purpose and function. The second baptism that is mentioned in the Bible is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and with fire. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is representative of the burning up of sin in the inward person, thus giving opportunity for new life in spirit. The great difference in the baptism is one buries and the other burns. Many Christians don't like the baptism of the Holy Spirit because it burns. We don't mind a little water on the outside, but we are afraid of the Holy Ghost fire on the inside, for we like our houses or spiritual temples to stay the way that they are, with all its sins in the right place where we left them, giving us opportunity to go back and pick it up and start doing them all over again. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, it burns up bad attitude, your lusting, your fornication, your lying, your cursing, your television shows that you would not watch if Jesus Christ was physically there. The money that you waste on the lottery instead of using it for giving it to the Lord's work, it causes change on the inside. Yet we won't come in until you are first ready to give those things up. In the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 5, Jesus said, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." It is there that Jesus Christ told the disciples that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a short time. The question that we must now ask ourselves, was this baptism just for the few disciples that Jesus Christ was talking to? Or was this a timeless statement that Jesus Christ was making to all those who would become his disciples? Beloved, it was a statement made to all who would become followers of Jesus Christ, including you and I. We know this because through the Bible or the book of Acts of the Apostles, we see others who were not at Jesus' ascension being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 17 gives us an example. It reads, "Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost." Here we have evidence that it is for all, even you and I. What is the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Often when we hear from people that we should be baptized in the Holy Spirit, yet we don't always know why or for what purpose. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is not something that we should aspire for the sake of having an experience. Rather, it is for the purpose of serving the Lord more effectively. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 8, gives us the purpose for the baptism. It reads, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." The baptism of the Holy Spirit is sent by the Lord Jesus Christ to empower his church. John chapter 16, verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." The Comforter or Holy Spirit is sent to the church, giving them a baptism for the purpose of empowering the church to fulfill the Great Commission. Many never receive it due to the fact that they do not understand the purpose of it. It is not to give you a great name, to make you popular, to give you gifts of the Holy Spirit to be used to bring you great wealth. Rather, it is given for the Lord's work. Without it, we are operating in the natural, trying to accomplish spiritual things. One of the greatest reasons why the church is ineffective in winning people to Christ for salvation is because they lack the evidence and power that comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we do nice things, But Jesus did not say that nice things would be a powerful witness to the world. Being part of the powerless church in our day should not be acceptable to you. Even if you have to turn your life upside down, striving for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, do it, for it is well worth it. What does the Holy Spirit empower? It is at this point that many Christians err in understanding. Most think that the Holy Spirit empowered them, that their thoughts, their hands and mouth, which would be a wrong assumption. When the Holy Spirit empowers you, he may use your hands and mouth to do things for you. Yet, it is not those things that he empowers. The Holy Spirit empowers the Word of God that is in you to accomplish the will of the Father. It is a principle that is laid out throughout the Bible. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we see the manifestation of this principle. It reads, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." What is the church? What is the church if it is not what was listed above? The Greek word for church is ecclesia, pronounced ecclesia, meaning one, an assembly of Christians gathered for worship in a religious meeting. Two, a company of Christians, or of those who, hoping for salvation through Jesus Christ, observe their own religious rites, hold their own religious meetings, manage their own affairs according to regulations prescribed for the body for order's sake. Three, those who, anywhere in a city, village, constitute such a company and are united unto the body. Four, the whole body of Christians scattered throughout the earth. Five, the assembly of faithful Christians already dead and received into heaven. Nowhere in this do I read that the church is a denomination, a church member who is not saved, a physical building, etc. The church is comprised of a compilation of believers called body in Jesus Christ, who are an outreach to a dying world and not as much a place that we come to. When believers assemble in a building, the gathering of people is the church and not the building. Believers can be in an open field in the church, in a car, and be the church, in a house, and be the church. Wherever believers gather in Christ's name, there is a church, for he, Jesus Christ, the head of the church, steps in. Matthew chapter 8, verse 20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." The head of the church, Jesus Christ, will come wherever the body is gathered. I must address this point. That is, for all those who say, "Let's have church, please stop saying this. you can't of church, for church is not an act. Rather, you are the church. The evidence. The Christian, as the greatest evidence of the truth of the Bible, an empty grave and credible witnesses who saw the resurrected Jesus Christ. The same proof that Jesus Christ gave to people on earth, the healings, miracles, signs and wonders. The church was given the authority and the commandment to do. Mark chapter 16, verses 17 to 18. We believe with this truth. We are to go to the world, proclaiming the salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen. As we conclude this lesson tonight, and as we continue on our spiritual journey, we pray that this teaching was a blessing to you. If you would like more information on tonight's lesson, or you would like to request copies of previous lessons, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. The Word of God is mighty and powerful and is well able to profoundly influence your lives. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you enter into an eternal and unbreakable covenant with God. At this time, all of His promises are available to you if you receive them in faith.
Reach out.
Oh, bless the name of Jesus.
This is an appeal to reach out and touch Jesus. As He's passing your way right this very moment,
you will find He's not to be there.
I'm talking to you, my sister. I'm talking to you, my brother. I'm talking to some mother. I'm talking to some father right now. I'm talking to that young man. I'm talking to that young woman. Jesus is passing away right now. If you just reach out and touch Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus of Nazareth is passing away. Somebody just reach out and touch Jesus right now. Everybody, every soul, right now in the name of Jesus,
touch the Lord.
Reach out and touch Jesus.
As He
keeps passing away.
To
God. you if you're feeling discouraged. I'm talking to you if you're feeling down. I'm talking to you if you're feeling depressed and frustrated. I'm talking to you if you think there's no way out of your situation. I'm talking to you if you're sick and can't seem to get well.
Jesus Christ, the love of God and the full fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with you all. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, thanking you for tuning in and reminding you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. God bless you and good night.